say no, especially as women, because we so often don't get to practice that.
Yeah, it is very unfamiliar to many women. You know, often, and I was raised by a mother who was working two jobs and for the most of the time was a single mother of six kids. And even I was not introduced into the idea concept of no. It is a complete sentence, and you can begin a sentence with it. So it is really important that we have that balance and boundary in life to be able to say no. And often what happens is if we operate under the attitude that everything is important, then nothing will be important. So setting a boundary of echoing...
Say that. Wait. Let's not gloss over that one. That was a big statement. Say what? What about if everything is important?
If we operate under the idea... If everything is important, and this is a great quote, and I can't remember who it's by. If we operate under the idea that everything is important, then nothing is important. We give it all the same credentials. And so we have to have a way to figure out what is, you know, we talked a little bit about urgency and importance. What is important to us? Urgencies are going to come time in and time out. They're going to arrive into our lives from one time to another. But things that are important... We have to determine what that is. And there's a way to do that, by the way.
I want to give an example in my own life about something I know I've had the opportunity to say, what do I value? What are my values? What do I really care about? And one of the things that end up at the top of my list has to do with friendship. And so I have to say, Yvonne, to myself, when a friend, let's say, calls me on the phone or sends me an email, I have to make a very conscious effort. It doesn't come naturally to me because it's right in the middle of my busy whatever I'm doing. I take a deep breath and I say, wait a minute, I value this friendship. The most important thing I can do right now is pause and be in contact, be present for this friend right now. And that's not easy. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not easy, but it kind of, I have to remind myself, wait a minute, I value this more than whatever multitasking I'm doing. I value this friendship. I need to give it time and energy.
Value is everything, because what we value is what we pay attention to, and that's going to be different for each of us. That's where that time thing comes in as well. You know, what I might consider this is taking forever, another person might feel as though it's going so quickly. So, you know, we talk about time. A clock was put in place to make sure everybody started work on time and got done, you know, left work on time. But really, time is really determined by our own experiences. So when you talk about value, it's the beliefs and values that are connected. When we have those in unison and those are operating together with what we believe and what we value, that is when we set ourselves, that's when we're going to be successful. That's when we're going to create incredible solutions, astounding changes in our lives, because there's not going to be a conflict between the two.
And it's sustainable.
It's absolutely sustainable. And that's what I want us to think about is sustainability. This is not just about making a quick change so that, the example we used earlier about losing weight, because it's all tied into something completely different. If we can find the value behind, in that case, the value behind why we want to lose weight, and we have a belief that's connected with that, that is operating on the same, you know, they're compatible, then we will make that shift.
You know, I want to give another example about specifically about losing weight. In the last, 2 years, I've lost 80 pounds.
Woo, yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah. But it happened when I absolutely understood that what my belief system was that was operating unconsciously and incorrectly. Maybe it worked at one time in my life, but it continued to work, that I had hooked up physical weight with power. That when I started losing weight, I thought, oh my goodness, how am I going to be powerful if I lose this weight? And that helped me to go into, wait a minute, wait, is that really true? Is that true that if I have a lot of weight, that I'm powerful? Are there other ways I could be powerful? And then it just changed everything. And then I had to walk through it and do all those increments and do everything. But it was like you talked about looking at what is my want?
Yeah, what do you need?
And what I wanted to do was to be powerful, and I was getting there in an incorrect way.
Well, in an unresourceful way.
Unresourceful.
That's the NLP person
okay,
in me.
Okay, great, great.
Unresourceful. So you found, when you, and I have a exercise in here called The Power of Your Beliefs. What happens is many times, and I want to touch on that, that's just incredible. You've created that change in your life. You know, when we walk through life, we're brought into this world, we take on the beliefs and the family structure, and we get at some point in our life, we have to slow down enough to look at those, or we can slow down enough to look at those beliefs and say, is that working for me?
Yeah.
And guess what? The power is that you get to change it. You are in charge of that change. You get to make the choices in your life. You're the gatekeeper. We all are of our lives. And once we give ourselves that power, the possibilities are limitless of what we can create. Now, I don't want to come across as Little Miss Mary Sunshine and everything's all, you know, roses coming up. I've had many difficult times in my life, real hardships. Watch my mother go through real hardship. I am so grateful that she always kept a positive attitude and always allowed us to see that we could take one thing, make a shift, and move forward. And that's really where I adopted that whole attitude, was I could take one piece. She would always say, how do you eat an elephant? By the way, I would never eat an elephant. I love elephants.
Yeah, right.
And I remember the first time she said that, I looked at her as though she'd lost her head. And, of course, I, you know, responded, I have no idea. She said, one bite at a time. Anytime you have a big situation in front of you, a challenge, whatever it might be, or something fun, maybe you're planning a great event, one element at a time.
Exactly.
Break it down
right.
to the one element. And you talked about friendships and the time and the urgency and the value and the beliefs. What we want to think about is think of a heart. And in the heart, that's your inner circle. Those are the people that you can call at 3 a.m. They've got your back. You can call them. You can be who you are. You can show up at the door with your hair in a knot. It doesn't matter. They love you. They accept you. They'll tell you the truth. They're always there for you. When we step outside of that circle, that's our outer circle. These are the people that we might see at work, on an occasion. We know their names. We might have gone to a party at their house, but we don't see them very often, except perhaps at work. But we don't have a relationship with them outside of that. And then outside of that is that peripheral circle. Those are the people that we might wave to at the gym or that we see at the grocery store, that we might say, oh, thank you for parking, you know, in a way that I can actually get out of my car type of thing. These are people that we'll see in our social circle, but that we don't have a relationship with ever. So think about social media now, because they're outside of the peripheral circle. And where are we spending our time? So when that friend calls you, and you stop and you pause and you make space and time for that friend, that's because that friend is in that inner circle. Now, if that person calling you is somebody trying to sell you, you know, a new siding on your house, that's somebody you don't know. You don't need to spend the time with it. But
right.
Think of all the people that, and I'm not advocating to hang up on people when they're calling on a sales pitch. I've been in that position before. We all want to be polite. But think about the amount of time that we spend with those distractions that are outside of that inner circle. It's a good kind of a formula to keep in mind when we start beating ourselves up for taking the time to be available to a friend.
Yvonne, you mentioned the word pause, and that just reminds me, in your background, there was a time that you were a stewardess, and you learned something in that training of being a stewardess when everything is chaotic. Tell us a story of that and how it's helped you even now that you're doing many, many other things, but how does it help?
100%. So as a flight attendant, we had called the 30-second review, and it was +3, -8, the first 3 minutes of a flight and the last 8 minutes, because those are the critical times. Those are the times when error can happen and when difficulties, when things can show up as an emergency, and that's at takeoff and landing. So we were trained that we do a mental review I just love this. I thought they were so far ahead of their time. This was with TWA years ago. And they sent us through transactional analysis and all this other stuff. So part of what we did, they were incredible. So part of what we did is you sat on the jump seat and you went through all of the scenarios of the what if. Now, this is where imagination and what if are a strength and a power for us. So if this door is blocked, then I use this door. If there's fire here, I go this way. And you go through the whole procedure of what could happen. We did it plus three, minus eight. That's why you always saw a flight attendant sitting on her jump seat, his jump seat, quiet, not talking, not on a phone. Why? Because the job of the flight attendant is to care for the safety of the flight in the cabin. The job of the pilots is to make sure that we have safety overall. Obviously, right. They're in charge. So that was a big thing, and I still use this to that technique is in the three-minute meditation. That's really when we're in a situation that we want to take a pause. Let's say you've got a day that's spinning out of control. You've got a meeting that you're going to, and you've got to get your mind about you. Pause, take 3 minutes, mentally go through how you want that meeting to be, let it go. Take a big breath and walk in. It's a great way to recalibrate and reboot your day.
Recalibrate. Mm-hmm. Very, very nice. In your book, you really talk about something called super solutions, the five super solutions.
It's a five-step super solution process. And this is kind of this where I merge the neurolinguistic program training and the mindfulness and the practical sense. So everything, all of the techniques and the quick solutions in the book are all built on, they're solution-based. Obviously, that's the key is let's get out of the problem and into the solution. So the super solutions are five steps. So the first thing, obviously, we're going to state the problem. Well, guess what typically happens? Most of us stay in the first step, and we go on and on and on about the problem. Yeah. We give a lot of energy and attention to the problem. So what I do is I use the problem to create the solution. So I do what I call the flip. Flip it over and create the solution that comes from that. You whittle that down into a sentence that actually makes sense. I have no time. I keep using working out and food for I don't know why, but I have no time to work out. Well, and that's why I don't have any energy and I can't do X, Y, and Z.
Right.
We'll flip it around. I am creating time on and get it really narrow. Going back to what we talked about earlier, workout Tuesday, Thursday, 5 p.m. Right to the facts.
So it becomes a kind of, you're making up a mantra for yourself, a positive mantra.
You're making up a mantra, which is that second step of flipping the statement. Then you're going to do what I call spotlight it. So you take your intention, that's what you want to create right now in the moment, and your attention, what you want to produce, what you want to create, what you want. And then you're going to do what I call sensing meditation with that. You're going to build a new story. And you can do it in 1 minute, or you can do it in 3 minutes, or you can do it in 30 minutes, depending on what you want to do. You want to put the color and the fabric into
it. We're going to put the color and fabric about that in just one moment. I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Yvonne Talley. She's the author of Breaking Up with Busy, Real Life Solutions for Overscheduled Women. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Yvonne Talley. We're talking about Breaking Up with Busy, and that's the name of her book, Breaking Up with Busy, Real Life Solutions for Overscheduled Women. And we're talking about five steps for super solutions, and we're right at that third solution, which is...
Yeah, the third step. Well, that's what I call spotlighting, and that's really, really where the storytelling comes in. So just to recap, if we were going to use, for example, saying no... is really difficult for so many women. We started to touch on that a little bit earlier. We don't practice that muscle. We're brought up to, get along, play nice, be nice, all of those things. And as I said earlier, even though my mother was raising us on our own, I still got that message. And that was a hard thing for me to get around to say that, what I call the healthy no. And that's not about being unhelpful. That's about setting a boundary for yourself. So you could use this super solution in this process. So stating the problem could be that, here I go again, I've committed to do something that I don't really have the time to do, that's not a value to me, that doesn't fall into my heart circle, which is really where this time is coming from. Now I'm going to pull away from that. How do I deliver my healthy no? Okay, that's the solution. The solution is to deliver the healthy no. So we're going to establish what we're going to say. Then on that third step, which we were talking about earlier, this storytelling, we use our imagination in storytelling and in meditation. We use our imagination every single day in a unresourceful way, and that is in the what-if scenarios. That is in the past and in the future. I want people to use it to create what they want. So they're going to use your imagination in this storytelling. You're going to walk yourself through that experience of delivering your healthy no. And I always say deliver it with compassion, kindness, consistency, and clarity.
So is it like an athlete really imagining their how
performance.
Their performance? So it's like
100%.
You're making up this novel of how it's going to be. Is that what you're saying?
It's exactly on the same premise. We use that quite a bit when we work with athletes. That not only is it the physical training, it's the mental training. Because just like all the elite athletes that you see, that here they are on the court, the tennis court, and one loses. They're both amazing trainers. Maybe the other person just had that better, not only physical stamina, but also the mental stamina. So it's very important that we get into that space. And we can do that. We might not be on the tennis court doing an elite, tennis battle, but we can do this in our storytelling. So you create that situation. Feel it, be in it, look at it, deliver your healthy no. How are you going to feel after you do that when you know that you've done it in a way that not only honors yourself, but honors the other person?
And the brain doesn't know the difference between imagining it and it actually happens out in the world.
That's how we create our reality.
That's it.
The brain
thinks it's the same hormones get released and all sorts of things happen in our whole physiology when we imagine something.
And that's 100% correct. And also the brain wants to please. So when we begin to turn on that conscious brain and we set that story into motion of what we want to create, we begin to look for those examples. We begin to see those examples. We begin to look for evidence that will fit our story. We do the same thing in a non-resourceful way. We get ready to go to a meeting, and there's that person that we end up sitting next to that always does the same thing in the meeting. And before we even get into the meeting, we've already set ourselves up to be irritated and annoyed by this person. We're already in that space. We've already created it.
We walked in the room with it.
So we're going to look for that now. We've set ourselves up for it. Well, what happens if we stand outside of the door and decide that day, that particular meeting, that we're going to have a different attitude about it? That we're going to find something that's positive about that person, because we all have positivity within us.
And that expands our ability to see and notice.
Compassion.
And physiologically, it expands our blood vessels. We get more blood flowing to the brain.
Well, this is why it's so fascinating in meditation, what happens to the brain in meditation. That's why I often will start a client with that 3 minutes, because it's so powerful. You are creating that space. You're lowering those hormones that are blocking you from thinking clearly. That's really powerful. And in the five-step solution, once you get into that mindful checkpoint, where you go into that sensing meditation, then you come into the fifth step, and that's where you make your outcome statement. You got your intention. That is what you want in the immediate moment. What's your outcome statement? And that's your, as you said, your mantra. And then you can repeat that easily. Make it short. I always tell corporations when I'm working with them, make your tagline short. Make your mission statement short. You have to be able to remember it. That's what's important about it. So you can repeat it and use your attributes, your resources within you to create that moment, that day, that week, that life that you desire.
So if you imagine yourself stepping on an elevator and you have three floors, somebody's in the elevator and they say, what's important to you in your life?
Family and friends, people, relationships, yeah. That's what matters to me. And in addition to that, so how do you get to a place where you can have those rich relationships? We have to take care of ourselves. This isn't about going out and running and skipping and jumping and working out. In fact, there was a recent information about the number one way to stay healthy is to have healthy relationships, to be engaged. It's that isolation that so many people face that is really tears us down and affects our not only our mental health, but our physical health as well. Because it's all one merging of yes. energy. So it's important that we maintain those relationships, but we have to maintain the relationship with ourselves first.
They're webbed together. They are not separate. We've learned that everything is separated into all these categories and silos, but
fingers on a hand.
They're all webbed together.
That's what's important.
Yeah.
And so when we're in the habit of busy and we're breaking up with that, we take one small step at a time. Just remember this. You have a life to honor, and you honor it first by honoring yourself. That's how you honor the people in your life that you love as well. Caring for yourself, expanding your ability and your consciousness to be able to do that. We can make simple adjustments one at a time to bring that into our lives more.
So, Yvonne, it's actually important for everything, for the baseline is to take care of ourselves. Well, what I'm trying to say is that when we say yes to everything and we get so busy all out there and everything and we think that we're contributing to all of that, but that really what we need to do and help us to know what that's like.
Yeah, you've got to restore and rejuvenate yourself. If you work, and we know now, anything over 50 hours a week, it's just not going to be functional. It's not going to be sustainable. You're not doing anything effective at that point. And I often get pushed back on, especially in the Silicon Valley, when I'm working with businesses where, you know, they're in there 80, 90 hours a week. Well, you can do that. You absolutely can do that. I'm not going to tell you not to do that, but let's take a look at what else is going on in your life. And is it still rich? Are you still having relationships that are considered rich in your life? Because yeah. something has to give. And I often say, something's got to give. Stop making it yourself all of the time. Stop being the one that's overgiving all the time. And this is something we as women do frequently. When we overgive, we take away from someone else that amazing sensation of being in the giving role. Because it is a give and a receive. You know that great feeling that we get when we do something nice for someone or we're giving to someone. If we're always the one in that position, just think of it this way. We're taking it away from someone else. So balance it out.
So you also have a list of the kinds of people that we are our tendency, like to be a pleaser or to be an optimist and keeping up with all sorts of things, you know, that we just take on, or the perfectionist. There's one. We don't have time to go through all of them, but let's go through one just to give an example. The perfectionist. What is that like to be a perfectionist?
Well, as a recovered perfectionist, I'm glad you chose that one. Well, the five types are the pleaser, the perfectionist, the alpha, the sorority sister, and the time optimist. And what I found were all the clientele that I've worked with over the 25 plus years, these are the types. So you might find that you're a combination of one or two or more. But the perfectionist is one that popped up often and still does. And so I talk about the traps that we get ourselves into, and that traps are set up on the shoulds of life. In fact, another tip that I would share with my clients is if you feel that you're really busy, and obviously you do because you're reading the book and you're here in my office, let's just do one simple thing today. Let's exchange that word should for could. I should break up with busy. I could break up with busy. So just exchange that word today and see how your day begins to shift. Again, yeah. Simple technique.
Very simple.
The perfectionist effective. She's methodical, detailed oriented, creative, artistic. She loves beautiful things, so to speak. And the fear for her, how she gets set up, is her fear of failure. So this perfectionism protects her from being judged. But really, if she slowed down enough, the judgment is coming from her. It's coming from within. And that, isn't that true for all
of
us?
It's true. It's true.
But this idea of perfectionism, if everything is just perfect, then no one will see between the cracks.
Right.
And that can really set her up. So her self-care is what I call a little exercise that's called SAVE. Say what you need. Put your actions into words. Or word actions, put words into motion. Face your fear, because everything we want is on the other side of fear. We know that. And then the E stands for evolve, because saying what you want, putting words into action, identifying your fear, all of that will allow you to evolve. So think of it as progress, not perfection. Today I made progress. And when we can start to wrap our energy and ourselves around that idea, then we'll be probably a lot happier.
Oh, we could just go on and on. I thank you so much, Yvonne, for being with us today. I've been speaking with Yvonne Talley. She's the author of Breaking Up With Busy, Real Life Solutions for Overscheduled Women. And her website is YvonneTalley.com. T as in tango, A-L-L-Y, YvonneTalley.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3659.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over four decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org. Or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hi, I'm Gary Hawk.
And Kathy Hawk. We are co-authors of Powerful Partnering. Next time on New Dimensions, we'll be talking about moving from power struggles to co-creative adventures.
Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started. So I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs. Interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations, postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.